Go to Daniel 9. Well, husband and wife, did you see that email? Or did, were you copied on it? I mean, that was from this, these people that have been listening for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And they had a question.
Well, I wish you would copy me on it if you get the chance, but no, I didn't get that.
All right. Anyway, they had a question about this thing we're going to study, the 70 weeks of Daniel. Well, let's start in verse 20 of Daniel 9. And while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation or sacrifice. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art grateful, greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, the key thing that I can't emphasize enough is that at the beginning, in verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, not the beginning of prayer. Supplication and prayer are two totally different things. Prayer is either being thankful or asking for something. Normally it's praying for somebody or asking for something. Supplication is presenting yourself as a sacrifice without regard to what happens to you, without any consideration for self. It's I'm yours without any reservation. Throw me in the pits of hell and I'll love you anyway. Kill me and not my people. That whole idea of what supplication is, that's when and why it said Daniel was greatly beloved. And the commandment came forth at the beginning of the supplication that he would be caused to fly.
Yeah.
Everybody understand the difference between prayer and supplication?
Yeah.
All right. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And these are the things that will be done in those 70 weeks. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To bring in everlasting righteousness. To seal up the vision and the prophecy. And to anoint, or to Christ, is really what it says, the most holy. Now, you can't get any more finishness than this.
Yeah.
To finish the transgression. To make an end of sin. To make reconciliation for iniquity. So you got iniquity, sin, and trespass. Now, those three things normally are all one thing. Everybody thinks they're just, you know, trespass and sin and iniquity.
It's iniquity, sin there, I know what that is. That's self. Our evil self, or self nature, at the base, at the core, that happened at the fall. Iniquity there is that trespass.
No, the iniquity is any kind of self-seeking. So it's just certifying and putting a stamp.
We'll finish the transgression. Is that the one that means trespass?
No.
I thought you said, you mentioned trespass. Which one is
right.
Three?
Transgression is trespass.
Oh, okay.
All right, let's look at it again. To make an end of sins. To make reconciliation for iniquity. To finish the transgression. Now, those are three different words. I'm not going into that right now, but and they really, you got to understand something, that we only exercise what Christ did for the last 3.5 years, but this whole process begins on 3.5 years before Christ was crucified. Well, let's look at it. We'll see. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. Now, it took 46 years. This is the temple that Herod built. It took 46 years to build it. It was finished, the street in front and the wall, which now I think is what's called the Wailing Wall, was finished. That's when Christ began. That's what he I always thought of people were here. He had to do something. This, remember, this 1 week is really 1 week is 7 years, and 7 weeks of years. 1 week is 70 years. I mean, 1 week is 7 years. The first 3.5 years of that 7, we have never looked at. We've never looked at it carefully. We've talked around it. But then his baptism happened. The beginning of the last 3.5 years. So something is going on here that is far greater than we've really talked about yet. And that is, what did Christ do in the first 3.5 years of the 7-year ministry? We only see him from the age 30 to 33. But there was 3.5 years that are defined right here that he was doing something in Jerusalem. In not just in Jerusalem, but in Israel. Now, I believe that's when that 3.5 year period was when he saw the end of all things. And that was certified with his death, as burial, which was his baptism, and then tested by Satan. And the first thing when he is all, you know, he was coming out of the incredible test. So it was. Look at this a minute. Hand that to him a minute. You can look at it too if you have any answers.
I have a quick question. It seemed as though everybody understood that a day equals a year.
That's no question.
At this time. And so this was exactly the time between Daniel's life and the life of Christ.
No.
No, I mean the 70 weeks.
Yeah, the 70 weeks were when the commandment came forth to rebuild Jerusalem.
Right. Okay.
And that was 457 B.C.
All okay. Right. But how did they know? I mean, it seemed like everybody knew that a day equals a year.
Well, because it says it in several places around in the scriptures.
Okay.
And I can't remember where, but it is right now, but it's... So, anyway, just take a quick look at that. And I wish we were. If anybody is listening and wants to see a chart of all this, call Pete. But what I want to concentrate on this morning, and we're probably going to concentrate on it next Monday, because you'll probably hear this the same thing, maybe a little bit different. But the 69 weeks were up. There was 1 week of years, which is 7 years, and it specifically mentions that here. So something important happened to Christ at this beginning of, not just at the last 3.5 years, but the first 3.5 years of the 7. You got it? Mm-hmm. Now remember, this is when they were studying the 3-year cycle. Every 3 years, they went through the law, the writings, and the prophets. And that's what Christ had been doing since he was 12 years old, going through the law, the writings, and the prophets. There was a slow dawning awareness. My God, they're talking about me. And so when that awareness happened, then that first 3.5 years was more of the test to see if he would use any of his mind to solve problems. You know, once he knew he was Messiah, then my God, he can do all kinds of things.
So it was, in a way, you could say that, or could you say that he was understanding Ecclesiastes to the fullest?
Amen.
During that first period.
Right.
Now,
he did it from the time from 12 on, but this was the intense period, so that he could see that vanity of vanities, all is vain. And he looked, and there was no man. That's why he had to die. That's why the seed of Christ was shed on all flesh on the Feast of Pentecost. That's why there's nothing I can teach you. I can only be a witness to what you already know. This is why dialogue, Bible study shouldn't be a monologue. It's a dialogue. I get really upset at Gary many times, as most of you know, because he's an elder. And that's another story. But the thing that I admire about him is if he has the slightest question or the slightest issue, I remember when he used to say, I remember this 100 times when we had stealth, and even before. Oh, that's bullshit.
I thought that was mostly John, but I guess.
Well, it was both of them.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, this thing that several people are dealing with right now about the use of the mind. This is the place where it was certified as worthless, completely worthless, during the period, these 3.5 years before Christ was baptized.
Yeah.
So that's what we're gonna take a serious look at that. And hopefully there'll be some understanding. All right? Anybody have any thoughts? Well, let's close it off by just reading John chapter 1, just the first few verses, until I feel like stopping, or until somebody throws a brick bat at me. Anybody remember what a brick bat is?
Yes.
What?
A brick bat.
I don't. Never heard
it's
of it.
Don't you ever heard of somebody throwing big brick bats?
Or okay.
You know what brick bat is.
Yes.
Go ahead.
A brick bat is, I don't think they use them anymore, but it used to be, they had a long stick, and it was a box, I think of a shape like a V on the end of it. And they would put the bricks for construction, and that would be how the laborers would carry them.
Yeah, it was called a yod.
Brick.
But when a brick bat is a shard, a piece of the brick that was either chopped off to make something fit, or the brick broke. And so the brickbat was these little, it could be anything less than the size of a brick, but it was, that brickbat was specifically used when people, back in the time of Lincoln, people would actually throw it at a speaker if they got upset at it. So that's where they threw brickbats. Anyway, that's a long story. All right. John is incredible because there's no genealogies. There's no weakness in terms of when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. There's him, not as Son of Man, but as Son of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then there was a man from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There's nothing but the power.
Yeah.
That's why they're the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the Synoptic Gospels. They're synoptic because they're similar in terms of telling his life story.
What does synoptic mean? Connecting?
Well, they're on a parallel path kind of thing. But John was totally different. You know, in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, Jesus in the garden, struggling and weeping, sweating blood. Let's look at John in the garden real quick. We'll go to chapter 18. Remember, chapter 17 is the real Lord's Prayer. It's what we call a Lord's Prayer is really the disciples' prayer. This was his prayer to God. But in 18 it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where was a garden, into which he entered and his disciples, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oft times resorted there with his disciples. Judas then having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus therefore knew all things that should come upon him, went forth and saith unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Again, it's just the power of his presence. That the saying, well, anyway, that we could go on. We could compare the Gethsemane story and the other Gospels and with and what it says here. And it's just mind-blowing. I mean, you know, when I saw it, when I first saw it, it was one of those aha moments. I got you, God, because it was two different stories about the same, or three different stories about the same event. But then as I studied and searched more, I saw, no, it was John showing the power of God. Yeah. Anyhow, we will do some more on the 70 weeks of Daniel when we meet again. What day is it today?
Friday.
I knew that. Take it, big guy.
So Monday, you're still here.
Well, I